Welcome. I'm Halcyon, and this is Hug Nation. Today I want to talk about Playa Preppin', or Burning Man vibes, or all the dust that's in my mind right now. I am a week, what am I talking about? I am days from leaving for Burning Man, and everything that is in my world is somewhat related to Burning Man. For example, yesterday, worked with my campmates to load up our truck. Loading up of the Burning Man truck is a tradition. It is miserable generally and interspersed with lots of camaraderie because trucks get hot and you're lifting crazy things and strapping things down. And as you go to multiple locations, you got to like take the bikes out every time and put them back in. And every time you put it back in, you curse the person who is sending their bike up on the truck. Not really. Not out loud. But it's also cool as the momentum is growing. And I really feel like the minute you commit to going to Burning Man is when your Burning Man begins. But really, as the powerful Playa experience really gets started when you're packing. And when you're packing the truck, it is on. So I packed the truck yesterday, or we did. So I feel like it's very difficult for me to be in anything but Burning Man mode right now. I am dusty inside. And that was further kind of emphasized by what I did the day before. Went to Los Angeles for the memorial service and celebration of life for Tomas Verde. And I talked about him last week, and it was based on what I said during Hug Nation that people who were organizing the memorial said, hey, could you come, you know, lead the ceremony and introduced the speakers and the singers and the musicians, and I was super honored to do so. And it was, I've never been anything like it. It was so powerful and so beautiful, and like the breadth of human experience was so profound. I mean, the people sharing these hilarious stories of just insanity and whimsy and courage and bravery and faith and manifestation, and then just loss and pain and witnessing people's anguish over this in their grief. It was just like the highs and lows in such a powerfully dramatic way. You know, there's something intensely beautiful about it, about how the effects of a person's life can create such intense experiences, intense emotions, intense, really, I mean, when we're in these intense experiences, it's hard to remember, but being a human being, being conscious, is really the gift of the ride. And when you're, even the grief is a reminder of the love. When you are feeling powerful pain from loss, that is simply the echoing of the love that you once felt. It is the valley that reflects the mountain. And so there's something, and I know it's easier for me to notice this and reflect on this as someone who is not as close to Tomas, but there's something intensely gorgeous about grief to me. Even my own, I mean, I really, really enjoy my experiences at Burning Man at the temple when I allow myself to surrender to tears and grief and wailing. And it took me, I mean, I've always been a crier. I remember being called a crybaby in elementary school and realizing that that was not good and this is going to affect me socially, but I still have a hard time not crying. But at the temple one year, as I was reading all of these reflections from strangers, all the painful memories, these longing and these loving memories that were reflections of their grief. And I had this awareness of all of this, the pain that is being experienced through the loss is that, I mean, that you can't have that pain if you didn't have the love. And so from a 10,000 foot cosmic perspective, these are the spikes of intensity, the spikes of passion, the spikes of a life well lived and truly connected. And there's something so beautiful about that, especially if you can let go of the negative attachment to it, the negative story that you have about grief and loss, and actually sink into the experience itself. I liken it to, like, if you get a piercing, my first nipple piercing, I was so scared and the pain was horrific. The second one, I meditated and I surrendered and I allowed it to be an experience, and it simply registered as intensity. And it was profound and intense, not so much painful, but just like a spike of experience. And I think that it's possible to surrender into experience and emotions in the same way. And so it was a beautiful thing to see so many people share these highs and lows. And one of the things that I love about, well, first I'll say, you know, I opened the memorial and I said that one of the things that I struggle with normally at memorials is that there's somebody up in the pulpit that is sharing their religious beliefs, their stories about an afterlife, or their ancient books that are not generally in alignment with my personal beliefs. And so I always kind of like feel like it's lip service and I'm kind of being polite and trying to kind of integrate what's being said with what I believe. It's awkward sometimes. I'm kind of waiting for that part to be over. And so I acknowledged that and said, you know, I'm here humbly as not one to share any truths. And actually having a bit of cautious envy for the cosmic wisdom that Tomas is now privy to once again. So that's one thing I don't like about memorials, is the way it's very difficult to put a single spiritual idea on top of everyone who is there and force everyone's grief and experience into a single spiritual viewpoint. But one thing that I love about memorials is hearing perspectives that are outside of my own. Everyone's experience of the world is single. You know, you see and experience one thing at a time. And the same is true with people. You experience one part of a person, or even if many parts, it's still through your lens. And at a memorial, as other people share and you learn about whole sides of a person's life and personality and passions, it's like this two-dimensional entity, this two-dimensional human that you thought you knew just plumps up. And this is this rich, intricate thing. And I just find it so, part of it you get this like, oh wow, I wish I knew him better. But part of it's like, wow, what a cool thing to have happened to this planet. And so I really enjoyed the sharing and such. And there was another part about it that I found super hopeful and affirming. This huge crowd of people was so impacted by one man. And this man was not a professional athlete. He wasn't a politician. He wasn't a humanitarian specifically. He was Tomas Verde. And by being himself super vibrantly and also lifting everyone around him up, he changed the world. He changed all of these people's world and changed the way that they changed the world. And I felt like, it felt like a powerful affirmation that it matters. If you follow your heart into the weird places, into the less acceptable places, that you make the world a better place. When you follow your inner guidance, when you follow that inner truth, that you are fulfilling your part in this plan. Maybe not plan's the wrong word. This momentum or direction of love and harmony and light and divinity. And I felt like everyone in that room was encouraged personally by Tomas when he was alive, and then additionally encouraged at this event, like, oh, I can be myself more. I need to be myself more. It matters to be myself more and to encourage others to be themselves more. And for me personally, it was so powerfully relevant as I'm about to start the Pink Path program and am like really committed to helping people be more authentic and finding their true selves and having the courage to be that in the world. And so it was like, this is like, I couldn't have had a clearer message from the universe that this is important work. There's a memorial for Tomas at Friday sunset at the temple. So if you're going to be there, I encourage you to stop by. I mean, even if you did not know Tomas, check out my Facebook feed and you can see a video by Teddy Saunders that is so amazing. It gives you a peek at this brilliant being. And yeah. But more importantly, find the inspirations in your life and be the inspirations to others. Not intentionally be the inspirations, but simply be yourself and allow your light to be the inspiration that others need when their light is dim. We are all inspiring each other. Other Burning Man things on my mind. I went to a Burning Man pre-sale, you know, trunk sale warehouse thing at Spin last weekend, where a bunch of vendors came and brought their clothes that they're selling. And it was three stories filled with vendors. And there was everything from things from, you know, thrift store, vintage stuff that people had collected that was burner-y, like fur coats and funky pants, as well as tons of artisans that were selling things they created. There's definitely a Burning Man fashion sense with fur and shiny things. And there's, you know, that you have like cyberpunky stuff and kind of go-go dancey type stuff. And it was weird as I walked around and very quickly I felt uncomfortable there. And I struggled to figure out why. Because part of me felt like I should feel like these are my people. This is like, never was possible before. And now we actually have artists, you know, making a living selling their Burning Man wares. And we have the ability to go and find Burning Man clothes. Part of it is because I struggled with that definition. Or any time you are surrendering your creativity to another person. And let me explain what I mean by that. Your attire, your clothing is a part of your expression. It's maybe the most significant. You are your canvas, and how you adorn it is a part of your creative expression. And I think that in the default world, so many people surrender that option of expression and instead choose to minimize their risks. You go to Nordstrom's and you buy clothes on the rack or help have someone put together an outfit for you, because basically what you're saying is like, help me wear something that will allow me to fit in or will look good according to what the current styles are. The very least, you know, keep me from looking out of place. Like I need someone to discern for me what is appropriate and looks good, so I can go about my business and not really worry about ruffling any feathers or having anybody wonder what I am or who I am. Give me the uniform of my culture. And there's a million reasons why you need to do that for your work and such. But there's zero reasons why you need to do that at Burning Man. You can dress like a caveman. You can dress like a fireman. You can dress like a naked man. You can dress like a woman man. You can dress like whoever you can. And so when people are go back to that same mindset of like, what can I wear so that I can fit in? What can I wear so that I won't be embarrassed? It's like, oh no, no, that's, this is the place you don't have to do that. And hopefully give you the strength and the courage so that it spreads out into the rest of your life. I remember every once in a while, in the first few years after the burn, we would find an event or a nightclub night that we could dress up and wear fur pants to. And confessing to the woman I was dating at the time, saying, man, I'm so much happier when I'm wearing fur pants. I wish I could wear them all the time. And she was like, well, why can't you? And I was like, oh yeah, because I'm afraid. I'm afraid of the reactions. I'm afraid of not fitting in. I'm afraid of sticking out and making people wonder and all the reasons that I don't really care about anymore. And so when people are bringing that default voices and pressures and scripts and stories and fears onto the playa, I found it a little unsettling. And I'm projecting onto people. I'm sure there very few people were going through that. But it still caused me to be concerned. I don't want people to outsource their personal expressions in any way. The whole point to me of Burning Man, of radical self-expression, of radical inclusion, is that you are allowed to be and feel and express in whatever way is authentic to you. If it's super subtle and mundane, great. You don't have to put on fur craziness and have pink hair. If you do it because you think you should, that's the worst possible reason to do it. However, if you go craved to do that and have never felt a comfortable venue to do so, then yes, do that. And maybe that's what people were doing as they're shopping for the fur outfits and the electric cowboy stuff, that maybe it's like, I've always wanted to wear tights like this, and I finally feel like I have a place I can do it. So I will give people the benefit of the doubt and say that's what everyone's doing, and it's not merely people falling into old patterns of fear of judgment. Because fear of judgment, sexual shame are like the only, not the only, I'm not smart enough to know what the only things are, but are powerful agents of oppression to our spirits, to keeping us from who we have the potential of being, keeping us from being the Tomas Verdes, keeping us from being our brilliant selves. And brilliant self, just to make sure I'm not pushing people in the wrong direction, brilliant self doesn't mean pink hair and rubber chickens and super wackiness. Brilliant self can be a super subtle, pure white light or beige light if it's authentic. A super subtle, perfect taste is way better than a over-the-top, garish, you know, inauthentic mask. Other Burning Man thoughts in my mind today. There's a lot of conversations online right now about the police presence in Nixon in the small town on the way to Burning Man. And there's reports that every car is being stopped and searched, and they're making up things and forcing people to have dogs go through their vehicles and things like that. I've seen enough reports to believe that some of that is going on. Have I talked to enough people to think that it's as bad as people say? No, I have not yet. I've heard reports from people that got through with never saw any police. And I've seen reports from people, apparently first person, saying that they got in trouble. So bottom line is, be super careful and be really careful about doing things that are illegal. Maybe don't do things that are illegal. Maybe don't do things that are illegal in Nevada that involve things that have strong scents. Maybe be very careful, no matter what, but especially this year. I probably should also mention, as I try to do every year, that I very much hope that we get a chance to hug and share a moment if we cross paths at Burning Man. And I very much hope that we have a chance to re-meet if we have met in the past. The flurry of excitement and meeting and stuff that's happening over the years makes it so that it sometimes can take me a while to reconnect to the memories of someone. So I might reintroduce myself, even though we've met a bunch of times, and it might be not till the next day that I remember, oh, right, that's the person that we both fit into a single pair of pants and spent the whole night sharing with. So my forgiveness in advance, please, and what a wonderful opportunity to re-meet. I'm super excited to share the Pink Heart Beacon this year. The beacon has been a part of Pink Heart's vision since the get-go. Before we had the dream swing that Joe Beal created, we had a heart that Kiwi made, and we put it up on a pedestal. That was the first year, and then we had the dream swing. The dream swing was retired last year, and so we really wanted to create a new beacon. And so we've been working like crazy on it. Well, I should say Kiwi's been working like crazy on it. And since we were building something new, we thought, well, what could we make it more cool, more interactive? And so I was super lucky to connect with Craig Lang, who's an incredible artist and in every direction, but especially impressed in so many directions. But what he's helping us with is lighting. And so if we can get everything done in the next few days, the new beacon, which was 20 feet kind of triangular platform, and then a 6-foot heart up on top of it, that it will have cushions in front of each of the three corners, a cushion that's about the size of a torso. And if you hug one of the torsos, it will shoot lights up one of the legs. And if you hug all three of the cushions, it will shoot up all three legs and then animate the heart and make it pulse. So everything about this project is well beyond anything I know how to do. The welding, the construction, the engineering, the LED work, the soldering, and the sewing. And so I've been incredibly dependent on the help of others. So massive thank you to three crazy artists, Kiwi, Craig, and my mom. My mom, who went to the Burn 3 years ago, I believe, and has helped me with projects over the years. This year, she's helping sewing the covers for the torsos. So I hope you get a chance to see it. If you see it and try to find two other people to see if you can activate it. Oh, and just one last thing. If you're headed to Burning Man and you're overwhelmed with everything that myself and others have been telling you, and you're going to get there and you're going to be in survival mode and trying to just do the minimum you have to, but if you're not a part of a project, if you're not a part of something significant, highly encourage you to volunteer, either officially or unofficially. Go to the volunteer place, and which is near Center Camp, and ask how you can help. Or just go to your neighbors and theme camps and say, you know, I got work gloves, what can I do? Because the difference between going to the coolest city in the world and visiting versus helping create the most incredible city in the world is so massive. It's the difference between a good time and changing your life. So I believe that'll be my last random rambling of pre-burn excitement and thoughts. Oh, I guess I'll say a couple more things. I'll never stop talking about Burning Man stuff. Also, if you are someone who makes videos, I just relinked an old video I did, or made it last year, I guess. But if you make videos or are sharing the Burning Man experience with people and you're planning on doing that this year, really work on showing the breadth of the event. Avoid the temptation to show just hot, beautiful people dancing on top of speakers at Robot Heart. Show the art, show the artists. If you can, credit the art and talk about the 10 principles. This city, even the pretty people on top of speakers, which I used to be and sometimes still am one of those people, that is simply a symptom of all the work that goes into the city itself, all the dedication that goes into people following the principles. So if you're going to share this experience, whether it's in video or in Facebook posts or an Instagram post, please do it justice. Please make sure people understand what it's all about, not just what it looks like. If you are heading to Burning Man, I will see you soon. If you are not, I will see you when I get back. It is an honor to share every little bit of this journey with you. Thank you. I love you. Let's have a hug. Grab yourself by the shoulders. Mm-mm. What a gift it is to have this human body. What a gift. Imagine that as you're squeezing, you're not just squeezing this body you're appreciative, but squeezing all the people you know. Mm. And all the people they know. Mm. And all the people they know. Until we have 6 degrees of non-separation, just giving an embrace to the entire world. Going beyond our thoughts and personalities and beliefs and politics and religions and sports teams and just embracing the humanity of everyone. The recognition that we all have love and desire more safety and all want what's best for our families, even though we may have different plans about how we want to make that happen in the world. So let's just embrace the humanity and for 3 breaths, just be a part of the oneness of the human family. In through the nose, out through the mouth. 2 more. On behalf of Grandpa Caleb and all the Love Warriors, happy Hug Nation. I love you.